Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Zydus Wellness, hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, everyone. Representing ICICI, it's our absolute pleasure to host the senior management of Zydus Wellness for the second quarter fiscal 2023 results conference call. At ICICI, we have been covering Zydus Wellness for a long period of time, and the research view stays constructive. For the results call, the company is represented today by Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, Mr. Tarun Arora, CEO, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. Now over to the management for the opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Tarun Arora, and welcome to the post-results teleconference of Zydus Wellness Limited for quarter two, financial year 2022-23. Like Manoj mentioned, we have with us Dr. Sharvil Patel, Chairman, Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Director, and Mr. Umesh Parikh, CFO. Consumer sentiments have gradually started to improve in urban areas, and however, higher input costs have continued to impact the industry. Moreover, pickup in rural demand has been slower than urban areas, which has resulted in downtrading. Consequently, we would say that our rural demand, which contributes 25% of the total net sales, has been a little subdued. During the quarter, the company continued the growth momentum and registering a net sales growth of  12.3% on a consolidated basis, which is aided by a robust volume growth of 5%, given the environment. On a three-year CAGR basis, the company sustained double-digit growth in net sales. Further, when we get into some other aspects of the business, softening of key commodity prices have provided some respite and would aid the business on an overall medium-term basis. However, we've seen some level of volatility, and the increase in milk prices remains, you know, unabated and has hurt the gross margin of dairy-related products, which is what is reflected in our numbers as well. Moreover, some key inputs continue to remain high and have worsened the impact due to weakening INR and negatively impacted gross margins. The company is very conscious of this and is tactically implementing price hikes at a portfolio level to mitigate these pressures on gross margins and should be recovering over the coming quarters as we move forward. As we continue to scale up on our direct distribution, the company has witnessed higher growth in distribution compared to the FMCG industry growth for the second quarter as reported by Nielsen. We have also strengthened our competitive position across all the categories that we lead by gaining market share in each one of them over 2019, despite the disruptions in the interim. That's one very important thing that I thought will be very relevant for all investors, because despite our leadership, we are strengthening our, you know, market shares across the portfolio and wherever we are in the leading situation. Let me take you through the highlights of the consolidated financial performance of quarter two, financial year 2022-23. During the second quarter of financial year 2022-23, our net sales grew by 12.3% to 4,268 million rupees. Our total income from operations grew by 11.9% to 4,295 million rupees. Our other expenses grew by 15.1%, which was largely driven by increase in the cost of fuel hike, like coal and husk, and also the statutory revision in wage rate in Northeastern Belt, where some of our manufacturing facilities are located. This came as a in a very short situation, didn't get us much time to react, but we should be able to address this as we move forward. EBITDA de-grew by 46.8% year-on-year to 163 million rupees. PBT before the exceptional items de-grew by 60.9% year-on-year to 82 million rupees. Reported net profit was down by 60% year-on-year to 85 million rupees. With that, let me share some of the highlights of the operation for the quarter gone by. We continued our thrust on marketing initiatives to grow the categories and increase our market share of our brands during the quarter. Actually, before I get into it, I must also highlight, because you would have the P&L by now, we continued our investments behind on advertising and marketing because we believe that's the only way to build our business on a sustainable growth basis. And that's something we will see as we move forward. On the Glucon-D front, we continue to drive the growth of the brand post a good summer season through media activations, TV campaign during the quarter to leverage the second summer's opportunity across our key markets. As a result, the brand has registered a strong double-digit sales growth. Glucon-D has maintained its number one position with a value market share of 60.0 in the glucose powder category at a MAT September level, which is an increase of 157 basis points over the same period last year, as per MAT September 2022 report of Nielsen. On the Complan front, the health food drinks category continued to witness slowdown and similar trend was reflected for Complan as well. The category has been showing a degrowth for last three quarters at an overall level as reported by Nielsen. However, with our interventions in terms of sachets and pouches launched in key markets and some in the pipeline, which will help us participate in a larger pie of HFD market, we see green shoots are already visible in terms of increasing market share of Complan, specifically in some channels like modern trade, e-commerce, as we work with them. Brand market share stood at 4.6% in HFD category as per MAT September 2022 report of Nielsen. On the sweetness front, Sugar Free brand continued to face headwinds of higher base and registered a flattish growth during the second quarter. We continue to focus on building and driving growth of Sugar Free Green, as a result of which its direct distribution has doubled during the quarter on a sequential basis. Our new initiatives over the last 3 years on Sugar Free Green and Sugar Lite contribute to now 14% of the sweeteners business, thus making us more future ready. The Sugar Free brand continues to maintain its leadership with a market share of 95% as per MAT September 22 report of IQVIA. On the personal care front, Everyuth brand registered yet another quarter with a strong double-digit growth. The brand was supported by TV and digital campaigns across its sub-segments like face wash, scrubs, and peel-offs. Everyuth scrub continues to maintain its leadership position with market share of 41.8% in the facial scrub category, which is an increase of 269 basis points over the same period last year as per MAT September 2022 report of Nielsen. Everyuth peel-off has maintained its number one position with a market share of 75.7% in the peel-off category as per MAT September 2022 report of Nielsen. Everyuth brand is at a number five position with a market share of 6.5% at overall facial cleansing segment as per MAT September 2022 report of Nielsen. This covers face wash, face scrub, and peel-off, all the facial cleansing segments. During the taking the benefit of prolonged monsoon in some parts of the country, Nycil brand registered a strong double-digit sales growth supported by TV campaigns. Nycil has maintained its number one position with a market share of 35% in prickly heat powder category, which is an increase of 47 basis points over the same period last year as per MAT September 2022 report of Nielsen. On the dairy and spreads category front, Nutralite continued to build momentum in overall business and delivered a strong double-digit growth in quarter gone by. Nutralite Doodh Shakti dairy portfolio, which includes butter, spreads, and ghee, has delivered a strong performance backed by increased distribution drive, festival-specific digital activations, and online recipe videos endorsed by celebrity Shilpa Shetty. We expect revival in consumer demand on completion of normal monsoon and increased government spending. We also expect good demand led by festive season in the coming quarters. The company expects to improve margin on a sequential basis, the impact of which will be partially seen in the coming quarter, with full impact being captured in the quarter four of the financial year. Thank you, and we will now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Now, sir, I got a few questions. I'll take one or two now and then I'll come back in the queue. We could hear very clearly about the comments about urban, rural, and how some of your brands have performed in your opening remarks. The context of asking this question about demand is that, some of the categories or many of the categories which you have can be classified as discretionary within staples. And in general, we have seen, discretionary top-end consumption, even within consumer staples or FMCG has relatively performed well. And these are statements I'm making based on what I hear from other companies. So feel free to, correct me if those understandings are incorrect for us. So the question here is, could you just give some more color in terms of, let's say, the SKU mix, channel mix, which may be giving an indication of confirming that, let's say, the top end of the consumer pyramid, whichever geography it is performing well. The problem is largely with the mass market, poor consumers. It's sort of, let's say, an impact on penetration slowing down. So any further color, whichever cut, at an overall level, portfolio level, or maybe if you can at a brand level, would be super helpful.
So I think what we've seen is top end of the market, both in direct distribution, even the organized trade, which typically ends up selling larger packs, have done better than our sub-stockist, super-stockist business, which caters to largely the lower pops, data and rural. And that I think really confirms with the fact that there has been a muted rural, offtakes across the board, which is what you're also seeing. So from at a larger perspective, we do see a better response from a more affluent part of the market. We're just hopeful that things will change because the monsoon has been good, overall government spending has been there, and we should see some revival coming back. Some of our categories, where we've invested also because Glucon-D was coming back after two hard years, we've also invested back in trying to get back, growth post, the peak summer of Jan-June. So we've invested there. We've also seen good, pickup from both our primaries and secondaries. We will see when the full offtake reports are there, but we are seeing good absorption from the market in some of these categories also. Even a Nycil saw some good uptake. Even the brands which come under otherwise pressure, for example, Sugar Free, we've seen Sugar Free Green doing well, which is a little bit more premium to the base product, responding better, and that does well in also organized trade. So clearly we see a better offtake from the more affluent, more upper segments.
So if I can also add, this is Sharvil here. So yes, I think if you look at the business as a whole, so first and foremost, I think it's important to note that we have had very good volume as well as value growth in this quarter, despite of the challenges that have been there in terms of overall growth. So the brands are very strong leaders and they continue to demonstrate that with investments, they are able to find better growth. Obviously, it could have been better had the rural and other areas been better. But it's still good to see that they have reacted to it and shown better growth. The second also is that market shares, and we have seen other than Complan, where we are still to solve for some of the things, that there have been good market share gains across the category. So I think the investments in terms of both distribution, direct distribution reach, as well as some tactical investments on advertisement is all helping. Obviously, we have to be still judicious in terms of how we spend the money. But I think all of those looks like it's positive sign for the brands that once we see some buoyancy because of the season now, we will see some better uptick in the market.
Understood. Now one statement I found in the presentation about which excuse me, which is very heartening to note was the sugar light performance, that it's doubling of course every time series since launch. Does that apply for the current quarter also?
Not really for the current quarter, because that's largely what has happened in the full year of every full year, but not the current quarter. But I can say that Sugar Free Green and Sugarlite now have become together a sizable portion of our business, and that's why we shared in my initial summary as well that they now contribute put together about 14% of our sweetener portfolio, and therefore stevia-based products which help us get more future ready and open room for growth are contributing more meaningfully in the sweeteners. But yeah, momentum is for full years.
Sure. And one follow-up on the marketing side of the business, and I have one question on sales and I'll come back in the queue, is, look, given that, many of the categories, or rather I would say most of the categories, you are the dominant player and you have the primary task of, growing the market. The context is, which also would mean that you have to be the innovation leader here. So any qualitative color, I respect the fact that there is a competitive angle comes in, so there's only so much you'll be able to disclose in a public forum. But any qualitative color which you could give in terms of the innovation pipeline which you have?
So for us, the way of growth, you're right, is through innovation and renovation. So as much as we are focusing on getting new products in, some of which are at a stage of the 3-year, 5-year window that we really evaluate each of these products. And one example is a body lotion which got launched, soft launched last year, will see some light of the day. But each of the existing products also goes through its own improvement and enhancement. And some of the existing products are already, we've worked and rolled out as we speak. Like last year, we also had Complan being relaunched as a better tasting, stronger claims product. So each of these products go through that. For the future pipeline, we have some interesting innovations which should come through and should help us consolidate. But they will be largely around the brands we already have existing within the same category or adjacent categories.
So is it, Tarun, so just to decode what you just said, is it fair to then for me to understand that the renovation or innovation which you have done in the last, let's say, 12-24 months, the ramp-up of that over the next, let's say, 24-36 months is a likely higher growth driver than, let's say, completely new things?
Yes, rather than completely new things, yes. There is a bigger, more important to grow what we already have, and each one of them is large. So whether I take a Doodh Shakti butter, I take a Sugarlite, I take a body lotion, they have enough room for growth, and we will obviously be driving up. The new ones take, there is always a 2-3 year window which any new product needs. So the new products, I mean, I can't say, there are one or two which have a good potential, but I will not carry my growth dependence on them. If they grow faster, sure, but largely our growth thesis is based on what we already have in the market.
Understood, sir. And again, going back to the presentation, it was very heartening to see the target of a 1 million outlet direct reach from 600,000, which you have over the next 3 years, which is sort of a 60-odd% increase, which you are attempting. Now, two questions there. One, if you could talk a little bit about, the execution plans which you have, because this is a significant jump, at least in my career, I've seen any company has even attempted of this sort of magnitude on a percentage terms. So just some color in terms of execution, anything different in terms of structures you are doing, et cetera. Point number two, how do I think about this, let's say, from my modeling point of view for revenue growth, like if I have a 100 index thought process, how much of extra growth, which you could likely get, assuming that you hit these targets of 1 million outlets from 600,000 in 3 years?
Yeah, I love this question because it comes often, and it's a very interesting thing. If you look at, and I'll use a bit of Nielsen and our own experience on this. Earlier, there was a very, very direct correlation between outlets and the sales. Over the last few years, that correlation has reduced. And fact is, if you look at FMCG industry, the rate of growth of any brand, any category has been much lower in general trade than the number of outlets growth. And that's why we are conscious of the fact that it will not have a very, very direct linear correlation with that. To my mind, first of all, let me just point out, we were talking about 5.4, 5.5 lakh outlets just about 6 months back. So we've already implemented about 0.5 lakh outlets as we speak over the last few months. We are working towards completing a 1 lakh outlet enhancement for this financial year itself, which we'll do. There is a, you know, a steady plan of taking it up. There is also a one new innovation or model which we want to test. It's too early to talk about it in next year, year and a half, which will help us expand our coverage without taking a relevant increase in cost to serve. The other issue is, and because the number of outlets in general trade, traditional trade is going up, but the throughput per outlet is coming down. Therefore, there is a need to get more and more efficient. The need for us will be, I don't want to get prolong this conversation. I'll just touch the high levels because I don't want to take away time to ask other business-related questions. But we will need to get more efficient about it. And the key role with new outlets will be, one will be the growth. The other will be also driving growth of NPDs, which otherwise do not go through the indirect channel. Those will be the key drivers for me to build our momentum around these.
Loud and clear, sir. Thank you so much. All the best. I shall come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Edelweiss Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. So my first question is on Complan regarding the market share loss. We have been seeing that, you know, we have been introducing sachets and pouches and also entering into Nutri-Grow. Just wanted to understand, you know, like how these initiatives have shaped up, you know, so far for us. And also, if, you know, you would have internally decided on the timelines on, you know, probably, you know, you would be entering into the adult categories also or the diabetic population also. I guess, you know, these segments are, you know, really large, you know, which you would be planning to enter probably, you know, what even Pediasure does. So any timelines regarding this? So two questions attached into one.
So first of all, I think our market shares otherwise have been stable. The category has gone through a large restructuring or reframing with a large focus on lower price packs. The sachets have, which used to be about 12 to 15%, now occupy 27% of the whole category. And we've been, I would say, behind the category in driving the sachet growths up. And that's one factor which has impacted our market share. So really speaking, in the part we play, which is basically the kids segment, the bulk of the category with the large packs, I think our market shares are reasonably intact. We did face some pressures because of the pouch packs, which were competitively introduced. We have caught up with them. I don't see a market share challenge on that. But the restructuring of the market, reframing of the market, which has happened due to these sachets, that will take us a few more months or maybe a couple of quarters to start catching up. My belief is we should be able to catch up on those and get back to our normal market share journey that we had. So that's one piece, if I were to say. As far as the other segments are concerned, they are a long gestation projects. We already have a Complan Nutri-Grow, which is in the toddler segment. We've seen some good progress on that, but it's still small for us to start talking about a significant shift there. I think adult is some distance away, and we need to first consolidate, get our numbers these right, and then we look at more expansion beyond that.
So, like, where these sachets would be, like, you know, it would be more in rural areas, or it's more in urban?
So, it was largely a rural and more south and east phenomena about 3-4 years back. Today, it has also gone to north. It is also there in mass markets in urban areas as well. So the proliferation of sachets becoming 26-27% of the category really makes it much wider reach. Given the pricing of this category being reasonably high and inflationary times, I think they've just been a space that we see it's proliferating across the board.
Right, sir. And my next question is on the Nutralite portfolio. So over here, what would be the proportion of dairy portion of the overall sales, like the one which you have mentioned, sugar-free green as part of the entire sugar-free portfolio. So the dairy would be how much of this Nutralite portfolio?
So we don't, this will be a very detailed breakup. We will not be able to share that at this level, but we have seen good progress on the dairy side as well as the traditional core of Nutralite also. So overall, the brand has done well across the portfolio.
Okay. So I understand that, you know, you are not able to give the breakup, but like going forward the next 3 to 5 years, you know, how much like the internal targets, like can it be a 500 CR category in the next, say, 5 years? Any targets decided internally?
So Nutralite will be among the top 4-5 brands and will be sizable enough, if I could say.
Okay. And sir, just one last question from my side. In your presentation, it was the currency impact. So, like, which of the raw materials are usually imported here?
So directly, indirectly, a large portfolio has a currency impact. It could be the sweeteners. It has oils. It has got, quite a few things, flavors, fragrances. So there's a wide range of products which get impacted at overall level. And sweeteners in particular is very large.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shrenik Pachawat from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, could you please explain how much is our rural mix in our total sales mix? Because as we highlighted, rural slowdown is impacting us. So I just wanted to understand how much is the rural mix. And sir, my second question is, could you throw some light on the gross margin contraction, sharp contraction? I believe milk inflation would be the main reason for the sharp contraction. So how will the milk inflation be impacting us in the third quarter? Have you taken the required price hikes or it will continue to impact us? Those two questions.
So first question is on the rural presence. We have 25% of our annual sales comes from rural. The second question that you have is
the gross margin contract.
Gross margin, how will you cover that?
So we have already initiated price increases. Like I mentioned in my summary, we have already initiated more than 2% price increase across the portfolio as we speak. And we do see by various actions, we will work towards, we should see a progressive improvement on the margins as we move forward.
And it's largely driven by milk, which...
Milk is the single largest impact that we've had. And to my mind, it is more of volatility and therefore may not be a sustained issue from a medium-term perspective.
So milk is majorly used in the Complan and Nutralite Doodh Shakti, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and we have taken the required price hikes for offsetting the inflation.
Yes. At a portfolio level.
So our milk inflation is not fully covered yet.
There's a lag, right? You can't get an overnight cover because of inventory as well as converting milk into SMP and then using it. So, but it, by whatever we are trying to address, our effort is to get back to our current original margin.
But in the Complan segment, are we able to take price hikes we don't have a big market share?
So we can do through a mix of actions. There is action on Complan and there is action on the portfolio level because at the end of it, we have to deliver as a portfolio. So there is action within the milk portfolio and other products which could support it. That's the power of a brand of the company at a portfolio level to work.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for this opportunity. The first question is again on the gross margin. While the previous participant did, ask a part of it, what I wanted to check was that, say for example, Aspiratum, you know, was up in 1Q, is up in 2Q, and you know, in some of the portfolio, we have a very strong leadership position. So are we, recognizing the macro headwinds? Are we sort of delaying the price hike or you think that the required price hikes have already been taken? Because sequentially, if I look at the price mix, you know, I don't see a lot of price hike being there. So just wanted to get your views on the same.
So, Alok, I think we are taking price hikes, but there is always a lag. So it's not that we're not able to or we're delaying. We're just acting as and when they come. We don't want to be leading the price hikes, which will impact the demand or, because the consumer is also at this point in time quite stressed. We don't want to lose our volume business as well. So we are balancing and going step by step. But being leaders across the portfolio, our ability to take price hike is pretty good. It's just that there are newer things come up. It's a volatile situation. We cannot anticipate everything. So some of those things, therefore, we have responded.
I think, Alok, if you do look at it this way, we have a lot of elasticity in price, though it's not always finite, but in terms of other brands. Complan is the only brand where we are obviously not the leader and we have to play the role by which we can do appropriately in terms of competitive space. So that's where we'll always have be more guarded in terms of what we do, and we don't always will have enough scope when it comes to Complan. But because we produce our own SMP, ghee and others, I think we have a lot of arbitrage to improve the overall portfolio to utilize the, I mean, to absorb the price increases that happen on milk. But all those do have a lag. And plus, I think this volatility of sharp increase was not ever expected. So that has obviously taken all of us by surprise that we would see milk going all the way to 53 plus rupees. So I think that's been the challenge. But by and large, brands have the capability to absorb any increases because of input prices.
And just to add a small thing, but the government channels also have a lead time in, you know, getting the price corrections done. So it's a mixed bag, but we're at it.
Got it. Second was on the sugar-free portfolio. So while, you know, we recognize the base impact, but going ahead, anything, you know, apart from, you know, the advertisement in Sugar Green and, you know, placement of Sugar Light, structurally for the category development, because, you know, somewhere in the PPT you also mentioned that it has a potential to become the third brand. So what are your steps to, you know, become the third brand? Because I think while the latent potential is very high, but you know, the size somehow seems to be quite small. So what are those key things that we are taking you know, to ensure that, you know, the growth in sugar free sort of comes back?
So sugar free, I think, needs to look at, and this is in last 6-7 years that been looking at it. It has a kind of a yo-yo that we deal with. We've had good growth years, and there have been years where we've not. On a medium term, if I look at it, any you know, group of 4 to 5 years, I see a good single-digit growth that we are able to achieve. The unfortunate thing is we're not able to push it up on a consistent basis to a double-digit, but a good year is followed by a not-so-good year. And that's why, to my mind, while we are able to do a good 8-9% on a 3 to 5 year basis, we need to push that further. So there are two or three elements that we are looking at. One is to recruit new consumers, and that's where we believe Sugar-Free Green and Sugar Light are some of the best basis ways to do that. The second is by addressing, continuing to address the concerns. And there are a couple of other ideas on the table which we've started exploring, which we'll share over a period of time. But suffice to say that, I mean, high singles are clearly something we will have. Beyond that, we are still work in progress.
Got it. And lastly, in terms of innovation, so while, you know, again, that has been touched upon, but, you know, somewhere I think a couple of quarters back, we had mentioned that, you know, we will be looking at about 2 to 3 innovations, you know, a year. Just want to check, where are we on that journey? Any changes to that plan that we have shared earlier?
So we are on track with those. Our key things is that right now we have some very exciting in the marketplace, stuff like body lotion, stuff like Doodh Shakti Butter and Sugar Light. And they have enough room for growth, and we are putting investments. We also have to balance our investments and what we put on the table. So we are on track on that. And we are investing behind R&D capability to have a strong pipeline.
Okay. Sure. Thank you very much. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I have 2-3 questions. First was on the gross margin side. You had mentioned about the adverse mix which resulted into the gross margin kind of a compression. Can you just elaborate more on the adverse mix part of it? What was driving that? Was it Horeca chain, you know, channel which actually is impacting us in that context?
So some part of the dairy byproduct portfolio, which at a gross margin level is slightly lower, may not impact at a total level, but those things become a little bit larger. Things like SMP and some part of the Nutralite portfolio.
Okay.
That's a mix impact.
Okay.
The biggest impact is the direct cost of milk, which has impacted us.
Okay, understandable. Second, sir, can you just indicate what would be the milk as a percentage of raw material cost for us right now, as in on an annual basis, maybe, if that can be shared? And also palm oil, what percentage it would be as a percentage of the RM cost?
I will not be able to share the as a percentage of mix, but I can tell you the milk is the largest, and palm oil will be about third or fourth.
Okay.
For us.
And lastly, we have seen consistent erosion in terms of the Complan share, market share. But we already have launched the low price point SKUs, 5 rupees, I guess 5 rupees, 10 rupees, and 15 rupees price point. So when do you see that, kind of getting arrested in terms of the market share losses? And also, can we expect some kind of a market share gains also to accrue because of the same?
So there are two parts to it. First of all, I think we've started rolling out in last 5-6 months. Not all markets, all sachets have been rolled out. We do it as up to right quarter three, when it'll be the whole rollout will be complete. In last 4 months, we've already seen recovery of market shares. Because we share rolling MAT data, you may see it with a lag, but we're already seeing improvement in shares. And I specifically mentioned some of the channels also are responding better.
Understand. Thanks, sir. Thanks for taking that question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Tarun, Sharvil, good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. I have got three questions. Starting with Complan as a category, if you have the number, what is the exit September category decline in terms of volume for HFD?
I don't remember the volume, but if I remember, it is -3% for January-September, -3% category.
Okay. 9 months, you're saying?
Yeah, January-September.
And that -3% is value or volume?
Value.
Okay. So I'm sure because most of the market leader is also cutting down the prices and trying to give freebies. So obviously value, if it is declined, volume would have definitely taken a hit. But against that, what is the average industry would have taken up price increase in HFD? Maybe about 11%, if my number is right.
No. Actually, the price has dropped because of two accounts. Some of the large players moved in a large pack, 500-gram packs. In the first stage, took almost 20% drop, then they improved some price, so their effective price over last 2-3 years would be, per unit price would have dropped by 15-16% in my guess. And then the sachets have taken over. They pushed sachets very hard, 5 rupees sachet. And that market over last 3-4 years have grown from 14-15% to 26% or 27%. So average realization per gram on this market is actually declining.
Okay. Got it. Second, on the Everyuth, again, if you could share or help me, even personal care is taking, if we see the low, most of the companies who represent the personal care. So in terms of exit, again, the Everyuth category, which is largely into the skin, has also seen the decline?
We are at a stage where we are in a good double-digit growth. I have seen of late face wash, which was very low growth, has revived a little bit, but the fact is that our dependence is very large on scrubs and peel-off, and we have seen good positive double-digit growth around that. Face wash has also grown well for us. So overall, we are growing faster than the category at a good double digits.
Yeah, that's exactly which I was trying, because if I remember the exit June number, which I have seen, the face wash categories declined almost 6%. But I just wanted to know, on the sequential basis, has it declined further or it has improved?
No, it has improved. I just have a look at it. I think it has improved. I saw some improvement in face wash. And personally, I was not very, you know, seeing a good numbers earlier, but I have seen an improvement there. Clearly, there is a positive move.
So what I gather, you are saying that face wash is may not have grown much faster, but peel off and scrub has grown faster, and that's why our growth for the entire personal care is higher of double digit. Is that
yeah? We've got a good high double digit growth across the portfolio.
Okay. And the other question I was wanting to ask, you said you have taken some price increases, but what is the quantum of price increase happen in quarter two?
So, at the beginning of the year, we had talked about 7.5-8% price increase. We have taken a further price increase implemented now about 2% plus, which is also, which is going to get, which is already implemented. And we'll take more further calls as we go forward.
Okay. Okay. And just last question on slide five, you have given most of the raw material price index. Now, in the price index, if you have the number, what is the sequential inflation we have seen as a basket? Is it gone up substantially about 6-7%, or it's just marginally gone up?
So on a YOY basis, keeping the COGS same as the same volume level, it is about 8%.
Sequentially,
that is YOY, sir. Umesh bhai, can you give me a sequential? On a sequential basis, it is about
3.5%. Okay. So you mean to say that 3.5% is the inflation and half of that we have taken through price increase. So maybe it explains that about 200 basis point has happened because of COGS.
Yeah.
Okay.
It also will depend on the future product mix, how do we manage the right product mix.
So. Sure. Thank you, Sharvil. All the best to you, Tarun and team.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharvil.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas Shah from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Just an extension of a question from the previous participant. So, should we assume that the price intervention that we have made in the recent quarter is good enough for us to revert back to earlier margin, let's say by fourth quarter, or can it happen earlier as well? Settle spendables actually on raw material as they stand today.
By fourth quarter, I think we should certainly be able to fully catch up. We are hopeful. We're managing it month on month, but by quarter four, we should be back to normal.
Okay. And just wanted to ask.
I think there is also, we have to see in the context of how the Zydus Wellness business is, right? The fourth and first quarter are where close to 83-84% of our profits are, and the last two quarters are very small. So while we have had a very big headwind in terms of price increases, but in terms of the overall company, these two quarters are the smallest quarters when it comes to our profit, which obviously over a period of time we need to improve to see that we have stability there. But I think while we have had the degrowth, I think the degrowth is not as severe because these are very, very small quarters, and a small 3 to 4 crore, 8 to 5 crore change in anything could make a big difference. But meaningfully over the year, the because of the strong brands, I think we are still in a good place as long as we're able to make the right product mix and the price changes that we have made.
Fair point. Thanks. Second, just wanted to check, apart from pricing intervention at consumer end, have we cut on any customer promotion or trade promotion to protect margins?
No, not really. I think nothing. We've actually focused on investing for growth. There may be a little bit here and there, but largely we've focused ourselves on growth, and therefore no aggressive cuts. We've had to do it in the COVID years when the business had dropped substantially. But this year we have a single mindset of driving for growth and managing the inflation. So that's the approach we are following.
Great. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in the teleconference call. We'll see you next year in quarter three call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities Limited,
that concludes
this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.